You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Okay, welcome to the show. We are Unsportsmanlike here on ESPN Radio, ESPN2, the ESPN app, Sirius XM, channel 80, and all of our great stations across the country. She is back. Michelle Smallman, Chris Canty, Evan Cohen with you here on Unsportsmanlike after 2 days of not fun moments for you, correct? Not feeling well the last couple of days?
Food poisoning, in fact. Yes, I am back. I have risen. I am amongst the living again, and it feels great, guys. Question for you, though. Have you ever been so sick that you start questioning all your life choices?
Yes, absolutely.
It is the worst feeling in the entire world.
I don't need to be sick for that.
I'm laying there on my bathroom floor. It feels like knives are stabbing me all over my body. Ooh. I don't see any light at the end of the tunnel. And I'm thinking, this feels like a personal attack from the universe. Like, what did I do to deserve this? Do I need to volunteer more? Did somehow the royal family put out a hit on me because I've been questioning this Kate Middleton thing so much? I was just in a really dark place, guys, so I'm glad to be back. And thanks for holding it down for me while I was out sick.
Yeah, well, we're glad to have you back from the dead. Absolutely. Absolutely. Glad to have her back.
I think the lesson here, I continue to point out with Smalls, trying to be healthy is very unhealthy.
Yeah. I
mean, no doubt.
After you started out with 75 hard, I guess you took too easy. Like you needed to take a couple of days off. Are we going to stay with 75 hard? Is that happening?
Well, just to be clear, those 2 days were harder than 145 days of 75 hard.
Okay.
Those 2 days were worse than anything I've ever endured in my entire life.
Uh-huh.
And technically, if you miss a day on 75 hard, you have to start over.
But
I put it up to a vote to the group, my 75 hard group. The council has spoken. And they said because I was sick, I can just pick up where I left off. So today is another rest day. I do not have it in me to start again. We'll see how I feel tomorrow.
I don't know if I agree with that decision making. Here's what I would do. Here's what I'm going to suggest. I think I have an idea.
Okay, go ahead.
So you're going to miss 3 days.
Three total, yes.
Right. I do not believe you should start over with this exercise and diet plan. I don't think that's fair because this was an uncontrollable circumstance. This is not you saying, nah, I'm not into it. I think you should just do 78.
Just add it on the back end?
Yeah.
That I can do.
Because I know you could do that.
Sure.
And then in your mind, you're like, you guys did 75. I did 78. Sure, I took the 2-3 days because I wasn't feeling well. I think that gives you a sense of accomplishment where your friends can't even question you in that spot.
I love it. I will throw 3 on the back end.
Yeah.
That's a great suggestion.
That's
Thanks
what I would do. Just throwing that out there.
Yeah.
All right. Last night, you had the Boston Celtics do what the Boston Celtics do, which is win games in the regular season against really good teams. Good teams, I guess. And the Phoenix Suns, 127-112. And their two stars were stars last night. Jaylen Brown's been unbelievable recently. He had 37 last night. Jason Tatum had 26 in this game.
Them boys were cooking last night.
As they've been all season long, 52-14, their record. And Kevin Durant last night, 9 of 19 for the Suns, 20 points, 3 rebounds, 1 assist, plus minus, if you buy into that, the score of the game when you're on the court was a minus 17 for KD last night. Not ideal. And there's been this narrative developing over the last few weeks here about Durant and how we approach Durant. We sat here with Austin Rivers on our show, ESPN NBA analyst, last week talking about the LeBron and Steph era and how the distant third but still a great player is Kevin Durant. And J.J. Redick, ESPN NBA analyst on his podcast, Old Man and the Three, had this to say about KD.
Whatever happens the rest of Kevin's career, we're going to look back in like 10 or 15 years and be like, why the f*** did we spend all this time with all the bull discourse and not just appreciate literally one of the greatest basketball players to ever play this game?
Yeah.
He's literally one of the greatest players ever. And we spend too much time on the bull instead of just appreciating his night-to-night greatness.
Nobody is questioning Kevin Durant's greatness. I don't understand where J.J. Redick is coming from. KD is a top 20 player all time, and that's being conservative. That's not even debatable. The question is his competitive greatness, being at his best when his best is required. Like, there are levels to it when it comes to the Hall of Fame, and we know undoubtedly KD will be a first-ballot Hall of Famer. But when it comes to the greatness, when it comes to comparing him to his peers over the last decade of basketball, how does he stack up? And right now, KD is looking funny in the light. I mean, think about it. He's got Devin Booker and Bradley Beal, two guys that can absolutely fill it up. Brad Beal led the league in scoring once upon a time. Devin Booker scored 70 points in a game once upon a time. Like, these guys are big-time scorers. And yet, this is a team that we're questioning whether or not they could actually make it to a real playoff series. Mm-hmm. They might be relegated to play-in status, but this is more of the same for Kevin Durant post-Golden State. Think about how disastrous it was in Brooklyn. You got Kyrie Irving, the best ball handler of all time. You got James Harden, former MVP, multiple-time scoring champ, and you won one playoff series? One? I don't think it's unfair to scrutinize what we've seen from Kevin Durant in the way of team success. I just think that's the place that we're at with him. He's so good that we're not judging him based on his own individual statistics anymore. We judge him on overall team success. And I'm sorry, Ev, but I got to say it. The further we get removed from the Golden State Warriors, Kevin Durant days, the more the shine on those trophies comes off for KD individually. I don't know that we've seen a player that we view as a top 20 guy do less with more than what we've seen from Kevin Durant. He played with two MVPs in Oklahoma City in James Harden and Russell Westbrook. He played with Steph Curry, the greatest shooter of all time, the best modern-day dynasty post the Chicago Bulls. We're talking about him playing with James Harden and Kyrie Irving and now Bradley Beal and Devin Booker. I think it's absolutely on the board to question what we've seen from Kevin Durant. I was talking with the guys in the control room before the show, and Pat Costello framed it perfectly. He said, Kevin Durant is the NBA version of Aaron Rodgers, one of the most talented individuals we've ever seen in the sport. And yet it doesn't equate to overall team success as often as it should.
You know, what's hard for me on that comparison is, you're doing it from an on-field, on-court perspective. I no longer think of Aaron Rodgers on the field. I literally cannot. And Kevin Durant, to his credit, only cares about basketball. Mm-hmm. Kevin Durant, wants to play basketball and go home and not talk to anybody. He's, from an off-field opposite. On-field, you're talking about the amount of talent, the amount of opportunities. Rodgers had a million opportunities and did not get over that hump. I'm never going to take anything away from those Warriors teams. I can't do it because of how great they were.
No, I'm not. Here's the thing. I'll never disqualify a championship. They won the championship. He was finals MVP. I give him that credit. But there was already leadership in a culture that was put in place. Kevin Durant just had to show up and hoop. But that's not what we normally require from the greatest players. Our greatest players, we're looking at them to be tone setters. We're looking at them to establish a culture that leads to sustained success. And Kevin Durant has not been able to do that.
Well, we don't look at him the same way as we look at LeBron and Steph. And I think we have to acknowledge that.
We don't look
at
him the same way as we look at any of the all-time greats that are playing right now. We don't look at him the same way as we look at Jokic. I don't. Think about what Jokic was able to establish with the Denver Nuggets. This guy's on his way to winning his third MVP.
But if he doesn't win a championship this year, you're going to hold it against Jokic?
No, I'm not going to hold it against Jokic because he's already done it.
Right.
In a situation where he established it from the ground up. There was no championship culture in Denver to speak of before Jokic got there. He built that. Kevin Durant didn't do it. We've seen it with LeBron James, with the LA Lakers and the Cleveland Cavs. We've seen it with Giannis.
The
Milwaukee Bucks. We've seen it with Steph and the Golden State Warriors. We've seen it time and time again with the all-time greats, guys that we would view as top 20 players. And Kevin Durant, he doesn't have that on his resume, and that's the missing piece. And until that happens, until something about that changes, we're always going to question that level of greatness, being able to have those intangibles that separate you from the others.
And while it's fair to point out all of those things, I do think that that's why Kevin Durant's greatness is underappreciated, because it always comes with qualifiers. We can never just look at those championships and what he accomplished and say, oh, he was the best player on that team. There's always people that were going to say, well, that was pre-existing before him, and he had to go to that team in order to win. And as you pointed out, what did he do after that with a lot of talent around him? Nothing.
Not only what he did after that, but what they did after that,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, the team
they
success.
Went on and won a championship without him.
Yes.
The further we get removed from those two chips that KD won, the more we realize that he needed the Golden State Warriors more than the Golden State Warriors needed him.
True. But just from an individual perspective, I think all of that discourse takes away from the greatness that we witness from him from an individual perspective. And while it's completely fair and right to bring all of that up, I do think that there's a part of us that when all this is said and done and we look back on it, we will say we probably didn't appreciate him enough in real time for what we saw night in and night out.
I agree with that, but I totally agree with that because I think he's great. And I think that, like, CeCe's right. You can't look at Kevin Durant and say this was his team from beginning to end and they won a ton. But also, he is great. So let's fast forward then. Mm. Let's say, like, one of the things that Smalls always says about herself, which I appreciate and I think she's right, is she has an amazing sense of self. She walks in day one, she says, I am clumsy as could be, and then she has a black eye to start the show, right? Like, we get it. Let's say Kevin Durant says, you know what, I'm going to give you a sense of self here. I know who I am. I'm an all-time great. Chris Candy said I'm a top 20 player of all time.
No question.
But I'm not the guy because of who I am. It's just the way I am. I'm not the guy to come in here and change a culture and be the number one in terms of leader. I need someone else with me I got to go somewhere else. Would you rip him for that?
He deserves to be ripped.
But I'm saying if he said right now, I want to go to Milwaukee to play with Giannis because I know it's his culture that's set. Or I want to go to the Lakers to play with LeBron because he sets the culture. Or pick a team. Right, or I want to go to Boston doesn't have it the way that we're, you know what I'm saying?
I understand what you're saying.
If he says that, aren't we going to rip him? Because then it's like, hey, you're going to acknowledge who you are. You know you're not the leading actor in terms of the culture setting. And then we're going to say, well, you never set a culture. And you never won a championship on your team.
Well, not even just setting a culture. How about holding a teammate accountable? Mm. Like, think about it. There was no accountability in Brooklyn. And when you're the best player in the NBA, that's a part of the job description.
And that is what will go down, I think, is the biggest mistake of this guy's career, is that he aligned himself with Kyrie Irving.
And that's fair. Like, that's fair to be critical of that. But you're still talking about OKC teams that came up short.
Yeah.
They were so young, though, to be
fair.
You
can say they're so young, but they came up short. They got to the finals and got smoked.
Yes.
Like, and those are two guys that went on to win MVPs in their career. Like, you know, I can't sugarcoat it when it comes to KD. Like, at some point, you have to be able to dictate the complexion of games consistently enough that allows your team to do the high-level winning. And this guy comes up short. Like, think about it. It's like a quarterback saying, oh, I'm just going to go to this team, but I'm not going to worry about being a leader. I just want to throw the football. No, we don't accept that.
No.
So why should we accept that from Kevin Durant when it comes to parachuting into a franchise and saying you're just worried about scoring your 25, 30 points every night?
And obviously we don't have the list in front of us, but I wonder if there's anyone else on that top 20, top 25 players of all time list that you referenced that we can say that about. That hasn't been the clear-cut number one guy culture setter.
That's played with, what, three other MVPs? That's played with three other MVPs?
I mean, he's probably singular on that list.
Shaq's... The amount of players that Shaq and LeBron have played with that are in the Hall of Fame are ridiculous. That said, they all won championships.
They won multiple championships.
With multiple teams.
Yes.
And that's, but I'm saying, like, when you're thinking about.
Shaq had, what, four titles?
Yeah, three with the Lakers, one with Miami. Yeah,
four titles. Like, that's what I'm saying.
Right, but that, and that's where it's odd because the guy that bounces around like Kevin Durant has, like that has played with as many Hall of Famers as he has more titles. And by the
Listen, man, look, say what you want about LeBron got more out of Kyrie Irving.
There's no question about it.
I mean, what's going on with the Clippers right now? The Clippers are getting more out of James Harden than Kevin Durant in Brooklyn ever did.
Okay, I'm going to put you to the fire on this
one. I'm just sitting there thinking about it. Like, these are pieces that KD had with him, and those guys have thrived in other situations.
Mm-hmm. Whose career would you rather have? Kevin Durant or Kawhi Leonard?
Kawhi Leonard.
Kawhi Leonard will not be looked at as a better player all time than Kevin Durant.
No, well, if he wins a championship this year, I think that changes it a little bit. Yes, it does. But here's the problem. Kawhi Leonard is closer to winning a championship with one of the guys that was jettisoned from Brooklyn that KD was playing with than Kevin Durant himself is with another situation that he has made. In Phoenix.
And by the way, I think, unfortunately for the NBA, and I love the NBA, unfortunately for the NBA, overreacting to regular season games is ridiculous because of what we've seen in the past. But here's the thing. The Suns are in the play-in.
That's my point. And the Celtics punched their ticket. They clinched a postseason spot last night. Like, we don't know that the Suns are going to make it to the playoffs.
No, and that's why I'm saying this is a fair conversation.
That's what makes this relevant.
And think about this, just quickly here. Kevin Durant, Luka, LeBron, Steph. That's your play-in in the Western Conference right now.
Wow.
That's ridiculous. Unsportsmanlike presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who switch to Progressive could save big. Quote today at progressive.com. All right, coming up, I think yesterday may have been the best day of NFL free agency we have seen yet. We'll get into that next. It's Unsportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
I think yesterday was the best day of NFL free agency. I think yesterday was one of those days where you sit back and you're like, oh, interesting. Oh, that happens? That was, because if you think about what's happened so far, it's free agents that we knew were coming off the board. There were some surprising moves, right? Josh Jacobs to the Packers, to me, was the one that I personally was the most surprised about. Of like, oh, I didn't see that one coming that way.
Yep.
Every other one is like, all right, that makes sense. I get it. Derrick Henry to the Ravens. Yeah, we knew that was going to happen at some point. Maybe Calvin Ridley to the Titans kind of was a out of left field one.
That was a lot of money for Calvin Ridley.
Yeah, that was a surprise.
But yesterday, Keenan Allen getting traded to the Bears was very interesting for a fourth-round pick.
I couldn't believe it.
Right, a guy that was poised to be cut by the Chargers in a salary-saving move. They ended up trading him.
So Chicago now has a team that if you were just to say to every quarterback in the league, you're now a free agent, okay? Chicago has a team that is really attractive to a good quarterback, I think. That if you have DJ Moore, and you have Keenan Allen, and you have Cole Kmet, and you have DeAndre Swift, and I'm not going to claim to sit here and break down film like CeCe does in terms of offensive line play, but CeCe's telling us, hey, they got bookend tackles that you can buy into.
They're good.
That's a team that all of a sudden has a win-now type of roster outside of the quarterback position. I am not suggesting that this means that Justin Fields is going to be their quarterback. I am suggesting that this would have been the best team that Justin Fields would have ever played on in Chicago if he was going to be on the team.
No doubt. They've got plenty of talent around that offensive side of the ball to go along with the offensive line. They now have the skill position players, right? You've got two really good receivers in Keelan Allen and DJ Moore. You got Cole Kmet, so we'll continue to see what they do in workshopping their running game post-Justin Fields. But the offensive line is solid. This is a good roster on paper to ease a young quarterback into the National Football League. The only question that I have with the Keenan Allen move was, could you have done more for the money and the draft picks? Could you have done more? I mean, looking at where Keenan Allen is, he's going into his age 32 season. I get that he had 1,200 yards receiving last year, but the guy has missed 11 games over the past two seasons, and he's going to cost you $23 million. You gave up a fourth-round pick for him. Could you have done more for those types of resources, for a mid-round draft pick and for the kind of money that you're going to have to dole out to Keenan Allen on a one-year proposition? That's the part that's a little bit questionable to me. Like, if you're the Chicago Bears and you wanted to make a trade in order to bring in another bona fide weapon for your young quarterback, I thought there are other receivers that are out there in the ether to be had. To go with Keenan Allen, a guy that is good when he's on the field, but a guy that you can't trust to stay healthy at this stage in his career, I don't know, another questionable decision by the Bears.
See, I liked this move by the Bears because if it is Justin Fields, you're putting more weapons around him. I don't think it's going to be Justin Fields. I think it's going to be Caleb Williams. But to have a rookie quarterback come into a situation that is seemingly as stable as it is right now on the offensive side of the ball in Chicago, I think is a good thing to have that protection in place, to have DJ Moore there, and now add Keenan Allen, who's coming off his fifth season with 100 receptions, which is tied for third most in NFL history. You have two proven commodities there for him at the receiver position. And the Chicago Bears have not done a great job historically at developing young quarterbacks. So the fact that they're going out there, they're making these moves, they're fortifying themselves on that side of the ball to put this quarterback, if indeed that happens, in the best position to succeed, I think is a great thing. But I wonder then if that raises our expectations for Caleb Williams.
Maybe. I mean, certainly there's a possibility behind that of like, okay, we have all these weapons for you here. We have a good offensive line. I think you still have to remember, if you're the Bears, he's a rookie quarterback. I like this move. I think it's a risk worth taking. I think it's interesting from the Chargers' perspective. I do agree with their decision-making, even though they got rid of Keenan Allen here. If I'm the Chargers and I have to prioritize my two defenders or my two wide receivers, I would have prioritized my two defenders, which they did in restructuring Bosa and Mack, and they let go of Mike Williams and Keenan Allen. Now, there's no weapons necessarily left on the as wide receivers necessarily for Justin Herbert to go to. They do have the fifth pick in the draft. They likely will get the second receiver in the draft if they so choose to go there behind Marvin Harrison Jr. going fourth, we think, to the Arizona Cardinals. I think this move makes a lot of sense for both parties. I really do. I like this move for Chicago. I like the veteran influence of Keenan Allen. Yes, banged up over the last couple of years, but when he does play, he's always productive. And I understand I preface that of when he does play.
Yeah, the best ability is availability. Now, here's the thing, and here's why going the veteran receiver route makes a lot more sense for the Bears than using a high draft pick on a receiver. You got somebody that understands NFL defenses, understands coverage concepts, and can present himself as an open target in short and intermediate routes for your young quarterback, right? Keenan Allen can get open if nothing else. He ain't the fastest, he ain't the biggest, but the guy just gets open, right? You're talking about a guy that has had multiple seasons where he's gone over 100 yards, 100 receptions. So I think having somebody like that, that's heady in that way, provides that safety valve for a young quarterback. So I think somebody that can see it the same way that it's being taught by the quarterback's coach, by like it's being taught by the offensive coordinator, is going to make a huge difference in terms of a young quarterback being able to have success. I just wonder whether or not Keenan Allen is going to be able to stay healthy enough for the young quarterback to be able to take full advantage of it for the money that they are paying him. Again, $23 million for a receiver going into his age 32 year. That's rich. There's no getting around that.
Well, they can restructure that and lower the deal a little bit by extending him, but then you're extending a 32-year-old wide receiver that's missed 11 games over the last couple of years. And he's got a $5 million roster bonus, I believe, coming up here. Does this change our thought process here at all about what they're going to do with Fields and Williams? Any part of them having a win-now type move change your thought process at all about them drafting Caleb number one and or keeping Justin Fields?
No.
So these moves... Okay, Justin Fields is gone. Caleb's number one. Doesn't matter about these moves.
I am looking at this at face value, even though the Justin Fields issue is still not resolved. But I am thinking that they are maybe having some self-awareness about themselves and saying, we have failed at this before, and we're going to put our chips in, and we're going to make sure to put stability around this young quarterback when we bring him in. We're going to put him in a position to succeed.
Well, they don't have as much self-awareness as I think they should, because if they realize what they're doing, the course of action that they're going to take in late April, why is Justin Fields still on the roster? Like, with each passing day, another spot that could have been a possibility for Justin Fields gets taken up.
And one of those we'll get to.
We saw that yesterday with what the Washington Commanders did.
We're going to get to that coming up because there's – we are now convinced. I think the league just listens to our show and then just makes trades off of that, because this is 2 days in a row that moves have happened. So we'll take credit for what happened with that quarterback spot, fill it up yesterday. We're going to get to that coming up. Plus, what is the definition of all in? We will find out. But first, a word from True Green. If you're ready to elevate your lawn game, which you should be, it's getting warm in the places that have been cold for the last however many months. Without breaking the bank, True Green has been the trusted choice for over 2 million homeowners for over 50 years. Visit TrueGreen.com today and discover the easiest and most affordable way to achieve a pro-level lawn guaranteed. Plus, enjoy True Green's verified price matching, ensuring you get the best lawn for the best price. I know, I've had True Green at my home. Visit TrueGreen.com and transform your lawn effortlessly. All you got to do is mow and water the lawn. They're going to take care of the rest. That's TrueGreen.com. Your dream lawn is just around the corner.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
You know, we sat here yesterday and we were talking about the Justin Fields value around the league, which is not there, right? We know that Justin Fields, quarterback of the Chicago Bears, currently does not have value around the league, or else he'd be someone else's starting quarterback.
Yeah.
And we landed on a conversation yesterday before a trade about if there were a quarterback that is currently on one team that a team would be willing to trade to another team, would that guy have more value than Justin Fields? And the guy we kept going back to was Sam Howell.
Mm-hmm.
Sam Howell was on one team yesterday. He's on another team today. He actually got traded, and there was proof that maybe he does have more value as he goes from Washington to Seattle, which has some fallout here because now you look at Washington in the move that they made, and they have six picks in the top 100. We know that they no longer have Sam Howell. They're obviously looking for a starting quarterback. They bring in Marcus Mariota, presumably as their backup slash maybe one or two game bridge quarterback to start the season. We know they're taking a quarterback with the second pick, but now we really know they're taking a quarterback with the second pick in the draft.
Yeah, but let's go back to the week that we've had on Unsportsmanlike, right? We talked about Monday, Kirk Cousins signing with the Atlanta Falcons. That happened.
Check.
Next day, we talked about Derrick Henry signing with the Baltimore Ravens. That happened.
Check.
We talked about the Dallas Cowboys signing Eric Kendricks, and rather than him going to the 49ers, he flip-flops. That ended up happening.
Check.
And then we talked about Sam Howell getting traded from the Commanders. That ended up happening yesterday.
I got to go back to the Kendricks because I, you know, it's not the biggest story, but I got to double
it
down.
Happened.
On,
it
no,
happened.
I got to double down on giving us even more credit. We said the Cowboys should have signed Eric Kendricks after he committed to the Niners.
Yes.
And then he backed out to go to the Cowboys. So we actually got this guy to leave one team and go to another team. But Howell, you know, opens up a spot. We knew that Drake Mayer, Jaden Daniels, would have that spot.
No doubt.
Now he goes to Seattle, theoretically in a quarterback competition with Geno, unless somebody calls Seattle and is like, hey, we'll give you something for Geno.
Well, no, Seattle said that Geno Smith is going to be the starting quarterback and Sam Howell is going to be his backup. And we said that would be the scenario that we would want to see Justin Fields in now based on how the league has reacted to him potentially being available, right? There was no open slot for him to step in and be QB1 going into the offseason or going into training camp. So he was going to have to go to a situation, sit behind the incumbent, learn how to be a professional quarterback, unlearn all the bad that we've seen in Chicago over the last 3 years. We said that would be the case. And Seattle was one of the teams that I pointed to until the Seattle Seahawks decided, you know what? We're going to give up a third-round pick to trade for Sam Howell. Now, it ends up being a pick swap. They get a third, and then the Seattle Seahawks get a fourth-rounder from the Commanders. So it's a little bit of a hedging in there in terms of the overall compensation. But again, Seattle gives up a third-round pick to get Sam Howell. And right. That's yet another chair that we thought a quarterback vacancy that could have been available for the Chicago Bears in order to deal Justin Fields, and that's off the board now.
Yeah, which is why I think going back to our previous conversation, there's no chance that he still has a shot in Chicago, because how can you rationalize that, right? If the NFL and the market is dictating that other teams don't deem him worthy to bring him in to compete for a job or to have a backup job, why are you then going to double down on him in Chicago? But this also kind of raises my eyebrows a bit on Washington, because we know Caleb Williams is from that area. We know that they would obviously be interested in him. They all of a sudden have a lot of draft capital. They're really smartly rebuilding that roster, new ownership group there. Is there a chance that they could find a way to have a deal with the Chicago Bears and move up to get Caleb Williams?
Oh,
I don't think so, but I'm intrigued. And I'm intrigued for this reason. If you look at the amount of picks the Bears have left for this draft this year, it's not many. It's like three or four total, yeah, if I'm not mistaken. And the Bears have built a roster now that is ready-made for a great quarterback to come in there and succeed. If the Bears, for whatever reason, believe, and I don't believe that they believe this, but I'm playing this out.
Sure.
That Jaden Daniels or Drake May are close enough to Caleb Williams or better than Caleb Williams, theoretically trading down one spot and picking up two to three more first rounders over the next 2 to 3 years, getting the quarterback you want and having the roster around him and recouping picks, all of a sudden the Bears are going to look like one of the smarter teams in the league.
Sure.
If you believe that Jaden Daniels or Drake May are as good as Caleb Williams. I don't believe they will do any of that. I think we are talking about this because we are leading up to the draft. I believe the Bears are going to take Caleb Williams number one. I don't think they're ever going to waver from that. But there is an option to move down that would really replenish moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, Washington has 6 picks in the top 100. That's a lot of draft picks. They got multiple twos, multiple threes. Like, they got a lot of draft
capital. You got some leverage there.
They do. So, I mean, I don't think it's crazy to suggest that they might try to put together a package to move up to number one. I don't think it'll be a first-round draft pick to move up one slot. I think it'll be a lot of draft picks. I don't think it'll be a first included in that deal because you are talking about just one spot, and you know that the Bears would still be able to get a signal caller that they like, whether it's Jaden Daniels or Drake May. So it just depends on what the grade is on the quarterbacks, what Ryan Poles views this quarterback class as to determine whether or not that actually makes sense. But if you're the Chicago Bears and you think one of these guys is marginally better than the other one, you got to go with the best quarterback prospect. Don't get too cute, mm-hmm, because this decision is going to determine your job security with the Chicago Bears organization. You don't get this right, and your ass is gone. Not later, but after 2024. Like, this is a do-or-die decision for the Chicago Bears, for Ryan Poles and Matt Eberflus.
All right, give me all 6. I want all 6 in the top 100. I'll give you 1.
No.
Give me 5.
No.
Give me 4.
No.
3.
Yeah, now we're talking.
Okay.
Now we're talking.
I don't like my negotiations. It was too easy to go down.
Yeah, I was
going to
say, you folded like a chief suit.
Now we're talking.
I need another first rounder. You got to give me a first rounder.
I'm not giving you a first rounder.
So you're telling me that the Washington Commanders, if the Bears said to them, number 2 this year and your first rounder next year to move up one spot, the Commanders wouldn't do that?
No, they wouldn't do that.
I mean,
according to the draft value trade chart, it doesn't make sense. Like, the value's not there.
But if it's Caleb Williams and you think he's can't miss, and it doesn't matter what the trade chart
says. Well, it doesn't matter. But I'm simply saying that to move down one slot, I'm not giving you a future first round draft pick. Now, here's the thing. The Commanders might pay the premium because Caleb Williams is from the D.C. area, mm-hmm, and you got new ownership in Josh Harris, and they might want to make a splash. They might want to endear themselves to the fan base that has been much maligned over the last couple of decades in the Dan Snyder years.
No doubt.
So I get all of that. That makes sense. But it would only be for that reason, because people that are in the business of football don't look at trading down one slot as a future first-round draft pick type of compensation.
Let me ask you a question. If the number one team in the draft was not the Chicago Bears, okay, by name and history, and they've done all that the Bears have done this offseason, would we look at this franchise differently? Because I think they're one of those teams, the Jets, the Browns historically, as it's the Bears.
Yeah, they don't get the benefit of the doubt.
Right.
They don't get the, but here's the thing.
But if you look at what they did, it's been pretty good so far.
It's been solid. Yeah, I'm not complaining about what they did.
He has done a good
job. On the whole, it's been a good offseason. But it has to be a great offseason in order to save their
jobs. Right, we're one big move away.
It's the most important move.
Yeah.
And the most important move is the quarterback, which is why I don't know that they will slide down, because how can you ever justify it? You've had the number one overall pick in consecutive drafts. How can you justify trading out of that pick and you're in quarterback purgatory? You can't.
Yeah, you have to think about risk-reward and the risk of missing on Justin Fields, passing on C.J. Stroud, and then potentially missing on Caleb Williams if he turns out to be the next C.J. Stroud or what we expect him to be. How could you ever, ever justify that to your fan base?
And that's the thing, and I'm glad you brought up the C.J. Stroud of it all, because C.J. Stroud and the rest of the quarterbacks in this class are going to be inextricably linked to who the Chicago Bears take with their top pick.
For sure.
Like, you're going to have your quarterback compared to all three of those dudes. and maybe even Bryce Young if he gets a turnaround in Carolina. Your quarterback is going to be compared to all of them. And everybody is expecting that he's going to be as good or better than the best. And right now, C.J. Stroud is a top 10 quarterback, so that is the highest of bars to clear.
It's amazing.
Good luck with that.
It's amazing, though. You said a couple of weeks ago, CeCe, you said that the Chicago Bears and Chicago in general, the center of the NFL universe right now. And if you look at what happened yesterday, it's amazing in some of the big moves how they're all seemingly tied back to the Bears. What do I mean? Sam Howell took a spot that was like the second wave of Justin Fields spots.
Yeah.
Now we're in the third wave of Justin Fields spots. And they went out there and they acquired Keenan Allen to pair with DJ Moore to play with who at quarterback, right? We think Caleb Williams, but now you're going to all these different spots because Washington has six of the top 100. The Bears are in a fascinating spot. They may be more interesting to watch this year than any other team outside of Kansas City.
I just don't understand why they're being penny wise and pound foolish when it comes to the Justin Fields of it all. It's a sunk cost. It's a sunk cost.
Just turn you're the page.
But where is he going?
I don't know.
That's
but
the problem.
But he can't be on this team.
I get
you
it.
You ain't got to go home, but you got to get the hell out of here. Like, I don't know where you're going. But it doesn't. My point is, it doesn't matter. Why am I even inviting a quarterback controversy by continuing to hang on to him?
But you just,
I know what I'm doing. I'm drafting a quarterback at the top of this year's class.
But you said it. Seattle was even an option for him, and that's out the window now.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know what the Chicago Bears are going to get for Justin Fields. I just don't. Like, they want a second-round pick. I don't know that they're going to get that. Maybe you're going to get a third-round pick. Maybe it ends up being something similar with the Sam Howell situation where you give up a fourth and you get back a third. Maybe it ends up being something like that. But they got to move on from him. Cut your losses. It's about ushering in a new era of Bears football, a new quarterback, and doing everything to support him properly, including making sure that the guy that was there in years past is not somebody that your quarterback is going to be compared to.
If they don't find a landing spot for Justin Fields before they draft their quarterback with the number one overall pick, are we going to think that all of the smart moves that they made this offseason are negated because of the drama and the controversy that will follow?
Yes.
No, I wouldn't say
yes.
That.
Yes.
They're gonna find a way to clean this up, I think. I don't know why.
I don't know. It's the Bears and it's a quarterback.
What she's saying is if he's on the roster and if he's in the building when OTAs, minicamp, offseason programs start, that is a quarterback controversy.
Mm-hmm.
And that will undoubtedly split the locker room because there will be guys that say, hey, man, we should have traded off number one, added more picks, added more players, rather than going with a quarterback that's not much better or that might be worse than what Justin Fields already is. Why would you do that?
Coming up, how do you define all in? We'll find out next. It's on Sportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Every day in our studio here at the Seaport, we have behind us what looks to be like a poker chip. And the poker chip says all in. And it's a big sign. I'm holding it up for the camera right now on ESPN2 if you're watching. There's a reason we have this here. We each got a couple of items that we could bring into the studio and design our studio with. And Chris Canty decided I'm going to bring the kind of life-size version of the poker chip all in into the studio. What does this mean?
Well, that comes from the 2011 Super Bowl year where our team decided that we were going to ride for each other. That was our mantra, all in. We were going to push our chips to the middle of the table. The organization, everybody was going to do everything that they could in order to win a championship. So that's what that signifies. That was our rallying cry, all in.
Mm. Well, Jerry Jones runs the Dallas Cowboys. He has said that they're all in. Stephen Jones is the executive vice president of the Dallas Cowboys, and he gave his definition of all in yesterday.
You know, I know where the frustration is, the fact that we haven't had success in the playoffs to their satisfaction. Until we do that, then, you know, the criticism is certainly something that's going to be there. And we know that's going to be there, but we're going to stick with what we believe will ultimately get us a championship here for our fans. But, you know, we don't define all in as what you spend in free agency. It's keeping, you know, the core, keeping some of the great players in this league, like Dak Prescott, like CeeDee Lamb, like Micah Parsons, like Diggs. You know, that's what we define. It's all in.
So keeping your own is all in. Well, that's a part of it, right? Like the Chiefs are going all in by making sure that Patrick Mahomes is not going anywhere, but they're also conscious of maybe bringing in a wide receiver like Hollywood Brown, like they did yesterday. Before we get to another part of this, guys, have you ever thought of all, and when a team's going all in, it's just to keep their own?
No.
Is that, I've never thought about that that way. I mean, that's important. Don't get me wrong.
Of course, that's important. But I expect you to be aggressive in your pursuit to win if you are all in. And by that, I mean being active, especially in those early days of free agency, which the Dallas Cowboys have not been.
And really, based on their logic, the team that I root for, the New England Patriots, have gone all in this offseason because they're bringing all their players back. No Patriots fan would think they've gone all in,
yeah,
right? I mean, his definition and the definition that you guys had with the Giants couldn't be more different.
Yeah, I don't understand what Stephen Jones is trying to accomplish. It feels in a lot of ways like the Dallas Cowboys are trying to hedge, right? Mm-hmm. They're trying to win now, but also plan for the future. And I don't know that you can do that, that you have that luxury of being able to hedge when you have a good to really good quarterback. Unless your quarterback is elite, you're not winning a championship if you're hedging for the future. It's just not going to happen. All you got to do is look at the past 5 to 7 years. Like, think about it. The teams that didn't have an elite quarterback that won a championship, they went all in. Like the LA Rams in 2020.
Good example.
There was no hedging in that.
Nope.
Not at all.
Boom or bust.
Look at the Tampa Bay Bucks in 2020. There was no hedging in that. They went all in.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the Philadelphia Eagles with Carson Wentz and Nick Foles. They went all in. Now, I know we're further removed from that championship, but think about what they did. In the middle of the season, they traded for Jay Ajayi. That offseason, they brought in Ronald Darby, Chris Long, and my former teammate, Timmy Jernigan. Like, they had Alshon Jeffrey. They had Nelson Aguilar. They had Zach. Like, they had a lot of guys. They went all in. And I guess my point is, if you're the Dallas Cowboys, it's going to take a level of self-awareness in order to accomplish the ultimate goal. You can't hedge for the future. You got to burn the boats. It's about winning right now, mortgaging future draft picks, mortgaging future salary cap space in order to get it done, and improving where you can with this club. And the most frustrating part, the most maddening part about what has happened the first 72 hours of free agency is that there have been a plethora of moves that could have been made for the Dallas Cowboys where it wasn't necessarily decisions that would have cost you a lot of money. And for the life of me, I won't understand why the Cowboys wouldn't go out there and make them.
Are we talking about Derrick Henry? Because that seemed like kind of a no-brainer for them to at least ring the alarm on that
one. We're talking about Derrick Henry. We're talking about Joe Mixon. We're talking about Austin Eckler. Any one of those moves I would have been cool with. But they decided that they weren't going to do it.
Well, they weren't on the team last year, so that doesn't count as all in because
It's not
bringing them back.
Got it,
Derrick Henry was a guest with Adam Shine on Sports on Mad Dog Sports Radio on Sirius XM and discussed whether or not the Cowboys even reached out to him.
Dallas didn't even, not at all. I don't really know what's going on over there. And but, you know, they weren't looking to him. Baltimore was showing the most interest, and, you know, somewhere I wanted to be. I was glad that we got it done, but Cowboys never called at all. That's why I stay in the offseason, kind of on the back end of my career. That's a great organization, and been a great opportunity, but I'm thankful that I ended up here in Baltimore, somewhere I wanted to be. Somewhere that they wanted me here as well. Like, it's a perfect match, and I'm excited. This is an exciting time for me and my family, and just ready to get to work and earn respect from everybody.
Well, Derrick Henry, happy with the Ravens. Cowboys never called. You know, the more I think about this, the more I think about the contradictory nature of everything the Cowboys have said. So they started the offseason with the all-in, which was dumb. Let's be honest. They should never have said that. That is a mistake. Having used those words, they should have just either said nothing or found. They literally should have had a meeting beforehand and said, what's going to be our mantra publicly for the offseason? Because if they did that and they came up with all-in, that's bad. Then Stephen Jones says yesterday, well, it's about keeping our own. Okay. Did I miss Dak's contract reworking and extension?
No.
Oh, well, here's a quote, by the way, that he gave to our Todd Archer from ESPN about Dak and his contract. He's all in and working with us, and we've had personal discussions with Dak as well. So if he's all in with Dak, does that mean that we should expect it to not get done?
I don't know. Because
well,
if
I don't know
say,
what's going to happen with that Dak contract, because there's another layer now with Dak dealing with some personal issues down there and law enforcement involved with investigations. So that's even more complicated now. But, I mean, CeeDee Lamb, you could renegotiate your deal. You can get an extension done, lower
Micah
his
Parsons.
$18 million cap hit. Well, Micah Parsons is making next to nothing. So giving him an extension actually raises his cap hit. But Tank Lawrence, look, DeMarcus Lawrence has a $20 million cap hit. What are you doing with that? Like, either he's going to restructure, you're going to give an extension, or you should move on from him. Either way, like, that's a big number. So you've got to figure that out, that aspect of it, too. There are other moves that the Cowboys could have made that don't involve the Dak contract that would have moved this team closer to being able to win a championship, would have moved them forward in terms of accomplishing their goal. And they haven't done them to this point.
I mean, even by their definition, which is not the masses' definition, they haven't gone all in.
No.
That's the bigger problem here. It's fine. Even if you were to say, let's give Jerry and Stephen Jones a benefit of the doubt, and their definition of all in is keeping their own. They haven't actually done
that. But I guess my point, though, is why are you hedging for the future? This is your window right now, and your window is about to close. Why are you hedging for the future? Once you pay Dak this extension, you give him $60 million a year, your window is closed.
Is there a team?
You're paying a good quarterback or a really good quarterback, elite quarterback money. It ain't going to work out for you. We've seen it. Every single time somebody does it in the history of the NFL, it does not work out.
And you also don't know what's going to happen with your head coach.
Exactly.
All right, we got to continue this conversation. Is there a team that you would say has gone all in this offseason? And what is your definition of all in? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The definition of all in by the Dallas Cowboys is bringing back your own, yet there's no proof they're actually bringing back their own. We're on Sportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance, here on ESPN Radio and ESPN2.
Thanks for listening to the Unsportsmanlike podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Unsportsmanlike live weekdays from 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on SiriusXM Channel 80. You can also watch on ESPN2 and on ESPNU. Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.